This is Dirk Maggs, and you're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I am Robert, and this is...
Matthew, that's my name. Boom.
We will not wear it out, I'm sure. What we're looking at this week, a couple of things to do with fan fiction. Please elaborate.
Yeah, well, this is something that's been mentioned quite a lot on the show. We wanted to talk about fan fiction and the morality of it, if you like, for a while now. Mm-hmm. We actually had Michael Hudson up in the country. If you're not familiar with Michael, he's a great voice actor, voice for us in Aftermath, and he was one of the first people we sort of encountered in the audio drama world, and he actually, along with Julie Hoverson, helped us a great deal when we were starting out. He taught us quite a lot. He's a great guy and a fantastic voice actor, but he came up here with a bee in his bonnet, didn't he? he was wanting to talk about fan fiction, and yeah, sometimes we are a bit too hard on it, but we sat down. Well, I mean, you had to rush off because you had the wee one, but Michael and me sat down and had a wee chat about it in the car, funnily enough. And we're in the car today. That's why the audio is a bit different. Again, circumstances have demanded that of us this week, but we bash on, don't we?
Yeah, my internet provider had gone down for the last 2 days. Although, as I was leaving the house today, Matthew, I had a quick glance at the box and it said, "Aye, internet's fine, by the way." I'm like, "Well,
of course."
Thank you. Right, I'll see you when I get home. We might as well start off with the interview with Michael and then take it from there.
So, Michael, you've arrived here in Fife today with a bit of a bee in your bonnet. You've got something you want to get off your chest, am I right?
Well, partly. I also come to interrogate you, really, about some of the things you've said about fan fiction, actually. So I'm expecting this probably to be called the About Doctor Who Fan Fiction Podcast.
Yeah,
maybe.
Could be.
But I'm a big listener of fan fiction as well as other audio dramas, and I'm interested actually in what you and some other people in the group think about them and why you think that what you do. I mean, perhaps we'll just start with that, and I'll ask you
okay.
a question, which is what's your thoughts, your real thoughts about fan fiction, to start with? A broad question.
Yeah. I wonder if for me, some of the reasons are probably that I'm not a Star Trek fan. I've never seen Star Wars, and I stopped watching Doctor Who when I was a child, and maybe because I'm not really into those things, and those seem to be the top three, well, worlds that are reproduced in the fan fiction world. Maybe some of it has to do with the fact that I'm not really interested in those story worlds, and therefore I'm never interested to hear that someone's made a Doctor Who or a Star Wars or a Star Trek show. On top of that, I just think it's a bit of a waste if you're going to sit down and make something and you don't make something that's your own. I feel, and I've nothing against people that do it, you know, it's just not my thing. I'd just like to see a bit more creativity. I mean, am I wrong to say that somebody's not being creative because they're producing fan fiction? Probably, yeah. Probably that's an unfair comment. But, you know, is it not a bit like squatting on someone else's land? Is that a fair comment?
Well, I think one of the points about what you've just said, I think, is there's possibly three or four different reasons that you've actually put into that one sort of paragraph. You've talked about, in effect, copyright, when you talk about squatting on somebody else's land. You've talked about the fact you don't possibly like them, which is an entirely different thing. And then you talked about you know, the amount of effort people put in to actually produce them, and whether it's as much as some other shows. And I think they're quite different issues, and I think you know the one about the effort people put in, I mean, there are, you know, I'll be the first to put my hand up and say there are some pretty poor quality shows out there, but then there are some poor quality non-fan fiction shows.
Yeah.
But likewise, there are some excellent fan fiction shows, and in fact, if it wasn't for, probably I'll pick one out of my head, which is Darker Projects, and Section 31, which is a Star Trek show, then I probably wouldn't have rediscovered the sort of modern audio world, as an example, and it just grabbed me. So I think for some people, that there is an actual art to creating an audio drama that could be alongside what you've seen on television, for example, and those, and it brings you in and immerses you in that world as if you're watching the real stuff on the telly. I think there is a bit of an art to that. I don't think it's just throwing the sound effects together and hoping for the best. There's the way that that world works, and getting it right can be really something special when you've captured that little bit of magic. I think there's also the ability from a writing perspective to extend those worlds into areas that interest fans of the show, and that's where we go back to what you've said. You know, if you're not a fan of Doctor Who and you're not a fan of Star Trek, well, as you say, a lot of those are fan fiction, and so you're not going to get sucked into it. But the amount of fan fiction out there is, or types of fan fiction, is quite a lot. You've got Star Trek and you've got the Doctor Who stuff, and, you know, I mean, Broken Sea, you've done quite a bit. Shows like The Prisoner and X-Files and Battlestar Galactica, those sorts of things. And then you get sort of what you'd more... would be more accurately called tributes, I guess. So, you know, people would like, or they like particular types of shows, but they don't want to actually mimic the show entirely, and you get a sort of tribute. And so an example would be in Misfits, you've got something called Help, I Tripped on My Cloak and Dagger, which is sort of a tribute, I think, to Hogan's Heroes, for example. There's a lot to the fan fiction area and the arguments against it, and I've seen some other comments from other people. I don't know if you can remember, you know, some of the thoughts that other people have chimed in with. Can you remember some of those?
As in, like, on the Facebook group or through email or...?
Yeah, well, just your experience, you know, with discussing these things with other producers.
Well, it's a polarised topic, isn't it? Some people are very against fan fiction. You know, I'm certainly in the against fan fiction camp. I've no problem with people producing it. I just would not advise people to produce it, and unless, you know, it comes down to your motivation. Like, what is your end game? If you are just, you know, if you're a Doctor Who fan and you're not really interested in the wider aspects of audio drama, you just want to make a Doctor Who fan show, it would be stupid to advise that person, no, go and make something original. What is your motivation? I know a lot of producers see themselves trying to build a business model, trying to create original content, and, you know, ultimately trying to pay their rent with audio drama somewhere down the line. Other people are very happy just, you know, doing the bedroom production, which is absolutely fine. You know, we've all been there, and they are quite happy to go along that route, you know, for the rest of their life and produce fan content and have it enjoyed by fans of that show. So I could totally see both sides of the argument. So I think that's it. It comes down to people's motivation. And to answer your question about other people's thoughts, I mean, some of the big arguments are obviously the copyright, and that, you know, your show could be shut down just like that, and it'd be a terrible shame to work on something for months or even years and suddenly you get a letter or an email telling you cease or desist, and, you know, that's it, doors closed. And what a shame that is, because whether you're producing fan content or original content, it's still the same amount of work that goes into making a show. And I know how hard it is to put a show together, and I'd feel really bad to see that happen to someone.
Well, that's I think, a good point around the copyright. I mean, you know, these people generally aren't licensed to produce these shows, and with that comes a particular risk. And some of the producers that we know and love have experienced that themselves, and I'm pretty sure that Broken Sea have had their own issues in that area, and Darker Projects probably as well. And probably the biggest one was poor old Pendant, who basically, you know, had to reboot themselves a couple of years ago because a lot of their shows were fan fiction. But they did have lots and lots and lots of loyal listeners, and so that really hit them very hard. Both the production company, I think, and the listeners. The details are between them and what happened, but it was obviously really tough on them all. So from that perspective, I think you've got a very good point. But I think for myself, there is a grey area. I mean, I'm not going to say to people, go out and rip off other people's intellectual property. That's not what I'm saying. That's absolutely not right. But there is, personally for me, there's a little bit of a grey area between people who do it because they like it and because they like to share their work and develop ideas further in those universes versus somebody that might want to do it just to sell it, for example, which of course is not right. I mean, that's not legal and you shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, there's an interesting question that was asked. I mean, Doctor Who, if you're not a fan, you might not even know this, but Doctor Who was on the television and then it wasn't for a long time. And of course, there's a new version that's come out in, what was it, 2005? I think it was. But during the wilderness years, as the fans call it, you know, there's an argument that says, well, actually, the sorts of things that audio producers were putting out sort of kept the show in people's memory, in the fans' memory, kept it on the boil. So in fact, you know, when you get to 2005, there's almost a ready-made audience still listening to new stuff. And in fact, if you look at Big Finish, who produce so many shows now and are officially licensed by the BBC, they started out as a fan fiction company.
Right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, before they got their license, I mean, they were producing Doctor Who audio in this fan fiction space, and they developed that and got a license, and now, of course, very, very well known for the work they do. And produce some great shows, not just Doctor Who, of course. Yeah, so it is a very good point. If you do that, you run the risk of being shut down. Similarly with fan films and the Star Trek fan films, Doctor Who fan films that are being produced. But for myself, it's like, well, why should I tell somebody that they can't do it based on that? Because I wouldn't do it. Why should I tell them they can't do it? Just because I don't like working in an existing world and would like to build my own world, why should I tell them they can't do it? I think it's just as valid. It's just that, you know, you or I or somebody else might or might not like that way of doing things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone has the authority to tell someone not to do something. Certainly, you can advise them, but you know, we on this show anyway would never dream of directly telling someone what to do. We have our opinions, and certainly if people want advice, we'd give our opinions. But I mean, is there a lot of people just directly telling people, do you think, that they can't or can do certain things?
Well, putting aside the cease and desist area, where of course people can tell you not to do it, I think I don't think I see people directly telling somebody they can't do it, but you see a sort of passive aggressiveness maybe sometimes, which is or maybe a bit of snobbery. Maybe it's, you know, I feel like it's a pity that some people feel the need to have to have a dig at fan fiction. I mean, if you don't like it,
like we do every week,
well, you know. Yeah, top of the list is you two. If you don't like it, you don't listen to it. I mean, it's, you know, I know you're not doing it maliciously, are you? I mean, in some respects, I feel it's maybe how sometimes science fiction novels are seen by non-science fiction writers. You know, they sort of look down their nose on the science fiction novels, and it's like, well, that's... Again, it's because you don't like it. I mean, that's just as valid as anything else, and have a big audience. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. Maybe I'm overanalyzing. But it seems as if that is, there's a little bit of that in the audio drama world, where people go, "Oh, that's just a fan fiction show."
What would you say to you know, fan fiction's biggest critics out there, and me, you know, just to try and maybe win us over, if you like, to your way of thinking? Unless you feel you've covered it already.
I think to sum it up, I think fan fiction is not really fundamentally any different than any other of the genres in audio drama. You either like it or you don't like it, the shows that are being produced. For me, I think it's live and let live. I mean, there's room in the audio drama world for more quality audio. I mean, you know... we need as much as we can get, and we need as many fans as we can get, I think. And so it's you know, for me, it's we're all one big family, and let's all live there together in that world.
Thanks again to Michael Hudson for taking the time to speak to us there. I did get a chat with him myself just for a few minutes before I had to leave, but it was good to actually hear the interview as such between the two of you. And he makes some interesting points. The first one I wanted to bring up after that was, how difficult do you think it is to reproduce the franchise, say Star Wars or Star Trek, faithfully, so that people can become immersed? I mean, I'm putting that question to you, Matthew, but as you say, these are not your worlds, so maybe it's something for people out there to consider. What do you think?
Well, I actually, listening back to the interview there, I was kind of kicking myself because I neglected to mention Keeg's Quest.
Of course.
Keeg's Quest, you know, it would be defined as fan fiction. It's a Skyrim show. I'm a huge fan of that, and I wonder if, I mean, it is very, very well made, very well acted, you know, everything's great about it, but I also love Skyrim, the game. I love the Bethesda franchise, you know, Fallout, Skyrim, Oblivion, all that stuff. So when I saw that, you know, a couple of years ago on the Audio Drama Talk Forum, I was really interested in it, and that got me thinking, you know, that has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? If you like that story world, I mean, there are certain things that I really like that if fan fiction came out, you know, like I say, Fallout, if there was a Fallout show, I would definitely listen to it. So
yeah,
I kind of wish that I'd thought about that when I spoke to Michael. It might have made me seem a bit more...
reasonable.
Yeah, reasonable. Yeah.
Tolerant, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about Keeg's Quest as well is that it uses the background music. You know, the music that you're familiar with, and it plays in the background softly when you're doing different things in the game. And he has that in the same way in his audio shows. So it's background stuff, and you're aware it's there, and you're immersed. It's not like, I'm going to say, the sound of the TARDIS crashing into the foreground and the Doctor Who theme playing at 90 decibels. You know, it's a bit more subtle than that. So maybe that's something that people, makers of fan fiction, need to consider, is more subtlety. Because some of the things I've heard are, they've stuck down the music as loud as possible, they've stuck down the sound effects, all taken from whatever show it is, not just Doctor Who. And then the rest of it's kind of, could have spent more time on the dialogue or the storyline or the acting or whatever, or the editing. Something to consider.
I've nothing much more to add, except in case I've been too reasonable now, I just wanted to throw this out there. Imagine you created a fan show, right, of an existing universe. Say you made up a character in Doctor Who, and it was a Doctor Who show, but it focused on this character that you'd made up.
Yeah.
Now imagine, you know, it was quite a well-made show, well-produced, and you were proud of it, but then online you find that someone has created a fan fiction of your fan fiction, took your character that you created in this fan fiction, and, you know, done him a real, or her a real disservice, made this really bad show. What a dilemma that would create. You know, would you give the cease and desist to the person who'd created a fan show of your fan show, or would you just appreciate the humorous irony of it?
Would it be like stealing from a thief that had stolen the item?
A bit, I suppose. It'd be like, what's that film again? Inception.
Yeah.
A fan fiction of a fan fiction of a fan fiction.
And when I say stealing from a thief, I mean doing to them what they did that they can't really...
Yeah, not then, calling them a thief.
I'm not calling up makers of fan fiction thieves at all.
Controversial.
Definitely not. I had a couple other points that I took note of while I was listening back to the interview. For instance, I play guitar a little bit, and I sing in a covers band. Now, I don't write my own songs, I sing other people's songs. I'll never play or sing professionally, nor do I really want to attempt to pursue it. I don't want to expand on my skills, if you want to call them that in this case. I'm happy just doing that, just playing 60s, 70s rock and roll and stuff that other people have written. So, is that acceptable? Should I be asking permission from the big bands like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles You know what I'm saying? There's a parallel here to fan fiction and the real deal, if you like.
Again, I think it comes down to what I said in the chat with Michael, which is, what is your end game? And you've been very clear there that you don't have aspirations to headline Tea in the Park or Glastonbury, and you're very happy doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Different, you know, if you... And again, it might be a bit different in music, you know, if you had aspirations to take it further because it's good practice. But then at the same time, is fan fiction therefore good practice? The only difference is, you know, you could draw a crowd playing covers in a band. It'd be a lot harder to draw a crowd playing original songs. I think that's maybe a fair comment, you know.
Yeah.
People want to book these bands in pubs because they're going to, you know, get everyone in and get everyone drinking because they recognise these anthems.
Yeah, they don't have to spend 2 years learning someone's original songs and stuff. And there was another thing I thought of. When I was at high school, I wanted to do like a dissertation on a Star Wars book. It was a novelization, not a novelization, it was an original story set in the Star Wars universe after the main films, like the original trilogy. Anyway, the point is, my teacher said, well, you know, and I said, hey, it's actually a good book, you know, and he said, well, I have no doubts. I'm sure it is. However, it's difficult reading someone's work when they've written about someone else's work, you know, because they haven't created the universe themselves. It's this weird kind of second-handness. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. So he actually recommended to me, don't read exclusively Star Trek and Star Wars books. Read original works, and you will find new depths, if you like, that just can't be achieved when you're writing about somebody else's stuff. So he was right, you know, because I used to just read that sort of thing, and then I started reading original works and thought, oh my God, ah, yeah, okay, this is pretty good. So... there's that. There's another point I want to make is a correlation between bad audio drama and fan fiction. Now, one may follow the other, one may not cause the other. Are people taking shortcuts because they're just, as I was saying before, slapping down music and sound effects and saying, hooray, I've made an audio drama about my favourite TV show? These are all things that, if anybody wants to contest them, get on the Facebook group, which we'll talk about later. And yeah, what you were saying, maybe if you wanted to just get started, you don't know how to write your own stuff, you don't know how to make your own stuff, you want to start with something, by all means, yeah, start with an existing universe, but...
One more interesting point here as well. Recently I saw Casey Weiland talking online about he's writing the Tales from We're Alive,
yeah.
And somebody had asked him, you know, how long is this going to take, and he said... I'm paraphrasing him here, but it was along the lines of it's taking a bit longer because he doesn't know the characters yet.
Mm.
He felt that when he wrote, he was writing We're Alive, you know, when he was in there in that series with all these ongoing characters, it was almost writing itself because he knew them inside out,
yeah.
Whereas he's working with new characters now, and even, you know, on a much smaller scale ourselves with Aftermath, it was very easy in the end to write Aftermath because, again, we knew the characters. Some of the one-offs we've done quite recently and some of the stuff in the pipeline, it's a bit more challenging because they're completely new characters. So again, if you know characters in popular culture really well, you probably find it's quite easy to write. So that might be an appeal, you know, it feels like a shortcut to getting something done, and also there's the chance of having that immediate audience because people might be searching for this particular thing anyway. So yeah, there are, you know, I can understand the appeal, if you like.
Yeah, definitely. I've looked online for content to do with franchises that I've liked. Star Wars, Star Trek, Batman, things like that. And some of them are pretty good, some of them not so good. So there's obviously pros and cons there. So, shall we look at what else is on the podcast this week?
Yeah, and like Robert says, you know, if you've got an opinion on this, and I dare say we're not going to, you know, we've not heard the end of this. This isn't it being put to bed. I'm sure a lot of you out there, if not all of you, have opinions. Please get in touch at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com or, you know, the Facebook group as well. Don't just write a passive-aggressive social media status about it. Get in touch, because we want to have the debate and discussion. You know, we're not trying to attack anyone at all. That's absolutely not our intention.
Yeah, and my final note on it is that I saw just yesterday that on another show they'd talked about a fan fiction to do with Firefly, the TV series, which I don't think you've seen but you're aware of. All right.
I've heard of it.
But... yeah. Oh, it was really good stuff. But they only made one series and then cancelled it. So this is like the second series, or that's how it's billing itself in its fan fiction. So I might check that out just to see what it's like, because I really liked the original show. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, elsewhere, a wee bit of news in the audio drama world in terms of releases, because The Ghosts of Flannan Island came out. That's by John Ballantyne at Campfire Radio. A couple of familiar voices in it as well, Robert.
Yes, yes. We were enrolled to provide semi-passable Scottish voices, and we just about managed it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, you know, it was set in the 19th century off the West Coast. Now, we're East Coasters, and there is a difference. We don't all sound like...
Still the 19th century. Though,
well, there's that as well, yeah. We don't all sound like, you know, Mike Myers' various Scottish characters that he's portrayed. Shrek, and so on. But yeah, so we managed to just sort of brogue it up a wee bit and sound Scottish, maybe not of the current day. No, it didn't sound like that at all, actually. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really challenging as well, because we did it all, you know, the three of us together, didn't we? Apart from the narration bits that I did.
Yeah, it was like a hybrid, you know, it was a table read scenario at times, but loads of fun and brilliant to be involved in. I really, really love the stuff at Campfire, and I was actually chatting to John about another wee idea that we might be able to collaborate on as well, so watch this space, as they say, in written publications.
Sounds good.
There was also, I mean, I think we have to give a heads up to long-term listener Kessie in Germany. You'll have heard us mention Kessie many times, or you'll maybe know her yourself, but I feel quite proud, because she had not produced a single audio drama before, and she's been listening to the show pretty much from the beginning, and just last week there she got her very first audio drama out, with another one quite far into the development stage as well. So had a listen to that, and fantastic, really, really pleased to hear how good it was. It did not sound like a first attempt.
No, that's right. And we both listened to it within minutes of each other, I think, because we were talking on Facebook. But this is the first of us actually even talking together about it, other than in a sort of three-way chat that we were having with her on Facebook. And absolutely, the quality, the levels and everything, it's... my first thought was like, oh, I better hurry up and make something myself, because I better not slip behind if people are overtaking me as quickly as this. Because it was just excellent. And I hope she makes more stuff.
And, you know, if you're listening there, if you've still not, you know, produced something because you've never done it before, you know, just get started. Please do something and tell us about it. Get in touch, let us know what you're up to, or even, you know, what you've released recently. We'd love to hear it, and it's really pleasing for us. You know, that's why we're doing the show. We want to try and help and encourage you to get stuff done.
Yeah, I don't know how much credit we can take for the absolute quality of Kessie's drama.
No, of course not.
But I'd like to think that we helped encourage her along the way, or at least pointed her to resources that helped her to come out with an astoundingly good first piece of work. So, absolutely, it's really edifying. Can I use that word, edifying?
Go for it.
Right. If anyone would like to let us know what that means, edifying, I think it means reassuring or something along those lines, let us know, and we'll tell you the email address to do that, because we're hammering the new email address these days, aren't we?
Yeah, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. And one man who was in touch via that email was Mr. Owen McEwen, the voices man, our good friend. He was letting us know that he'd purchased a Zoom through the affiliate link at audiodramaproduction.com, so we earn a small commission from that. It doesn't cost you any more to buy through these links. It's the same price, but the difference is we take a wee bit of Amazon's money away from them.
Which in itself has to be a good thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it goes towards keeping us going. So thank you very much, Owen. I'll try and... Owen does a lot of work. He works with like a DJ. I think they're called Spoke and Notes. They do kind of, he does voices and the other person does like music.
Right.
Quite inventive wee things. I'll stick one on at the end of the show. Stay around for that.
Cool.
Just as a wee thanks to Owen. And also, you know, he does a lot of voices for people as well. So if you're looking for a voice, get in touch with Owen.
Well, just another reason for us to get on and make more stuff so that we can get all these voices on board.
Yeah, so links to both those audio dramas and Owen's SoundCloud pages in the show notes. Apart from that, we've got a wee iTunes review.
Yes. Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is from WJM1138.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Now, I think that's a Star Wars reference.
Right.
If you think it's a Star Wars reference, let us know if we're right or not.
If you are WJM1138.
I might have to check this. I'll put it in the Facebook group myself. But, and yeah. Says, helpful and encouraging. And this was just on the 26th of March. 4 stars out of 5. We'll come back to that. I have found this podcast to be most helpful and quite encouraging while working on my next production. I enjoy hearing the various interviews, focusing on other audio producers' experiences, moments often explored with clips from their particular work. Best of all, the hosts are a delight.
Thank you very much. I suppose, you know, my mum would agree that we're a delight. Well, maybe not you, but me. But thank you for that. It's really nice to get an iTunes review.
Yeah.
Keep them coming, please.
And I remember the first thing you said was, aye, why not 5 out of 5?
I think it was your fault. I think you're the drop mark. But no, honestly, I mean, I checked Amazon the other day. I've got the ebook, How to Create Audio Drama If You've Never Produced Audio Before in Your Life. Plug, plug. It's on Amazon. And I noticed there was 2 reviews on there for that, both 4 out of 5. Which I quite like, because it shows that it's not just people like my friends that I've asked to, you know, never ever asked anyone to review it. So it shows it's good, honest feedback that's totally unprovoked, if you like. So.
Well, yeah, that's what they say. 4 stars is better than 5 stars because there's meaning there. And people are aware that not everything they like is instantly, therefore, perfect. I mean, obviously we can improve this show and we're going to continue to try to do that. So 4 stars out of 5. I would take 4 out of 5 for everything I do for the rest of my life, because I know it would keep me going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that again.
Yeah, thank you, W. That's just about it. Is there anything we're up to this week that we might be able to feature on next week's?
I don't know just yet. I think Steve might be back. Steve Schneider, he's got a wee clip for us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it could be him next week. We'll be having a discussion. And as always, Steve's put together a great wee piece with lots of different audio drama clips as well to break things up, which I really like. And if you want to do anything like that yourself, then by all means get them sent in to us. We would appreciate it.
I'd like to raise 2 points. Very briefly. One, you came up yourself, Mr. Matthew, with a story idea, which you said, it's an idea, it's pretty good, eh? And I thought about that idea for the rest of the evening while I was at work, and I love it, and I want to get to work on it. I would like to develop it, if you're happy.
Yeah, well, we'll bash on with that. I should have mentioned it, you know, something that's in the pipeline, something I'd been thinking about for a while. I'm absolutely, and I have been for the past 10 or so years, obsessed with the planet Titan, which is the moon of one of the moons of Saturn, and it has big methane oceans and lakes on it. So, been toying around with this story idea for a while, and wrote down a synopsis and showed it to Robert. So yeah, we're, like Robert says, we're going to press on with that, just as a one-off, you know, something to keep us going whilst we have a think about diving into a series. But look out for that.
And I've always wanted to do a story that's along the lines of the other aspect of the story you've mentioned, without the Titan bit, the more going there in a long distance, long duration journey type thing, but we'll talk more about that later. The other point I wanted to mention was Mr. Jack Kincaid sent out scripts for the next episode of Edict Zero, didn't he?
Yeah, we should have a spoiler episode where we just read the entire script out.
Just the last line.
And then go into hiding because he wants to murder us.
Yeah. I've read through the script, I know you have, and I'm very excited for you and I to get together, hopefully, and bounce off each other, metaphorically, and get the lines down for Mr. Kincaid.
Yeah, we'll get that sorted next week as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's it, isn't it?
Pretty much. It's Easter this weekend. Is it Easter everywhere? I know that sounds daft, but Easter's not the same day every year, so... Is it like the summer holidays? They vary from place to place.
I honestly don't know anything about it. I don't really follow it. I just, you know, I eat the chocolate if it's given to me, but that's really it for me.
You don't go looking for it?
No.
Fair enough. Oh, well, if you do want to get in touch, get to us at the via the usual email address, well, it's now usual, which is podcast@ I'm going to screw this up, you're going to have to do it. Podcast@
audiodramaproduction.com, because the website, of course, is audiodramaproduction.com.
See, I would have said that, but I thought, no, I'm not getting it wrong again. I got the old one wrong often enough, so I didn't bother. Facebook group, Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Yeah, all in the show notes, don't worry.
We look forward to your correspondence, we want to engage with you, and we love you. And I guess we'll speak to you next week. What do you think?
Yep, cheerio.
May your days be long and your hardships few.
Hey, Mr. White. Tell me a story, yo.
The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. There was a knock at the door. I am the one who knocks.